Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Aaron provide helpful tips on how to get ready. Ready or not, here comes Ready Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This week on Ready Radio, we have a special guest. In our second segment, we're going to be welcoming Mr. Glenn Tate, the author of the 299 Days series. This is a really fascinating book series that is very popular. It's into its eighth novel at this time. I know that there's plans for two more novels, possibly more in the future. And Mr. Tate will be our guest in our second segment to discuss how he got into writing books of this type and why this genre, which I think is a really interesting perspective. I really am looking forward to talking to him, and I know Aaron is too, because we both enjoy his books so much, and it was a really wonderful opportunity. I was able to reach out to him over the last week and connect with him, and he was excited to come on the show. He's going to have hopefully a couple of spoilers on his new book that's coming out, and I know that a lot of people are excited about this. I remember when the eighth book came out that there were people waiting in line trying to get their hands on it as quickly as possible, I mean, even ahead of Amazon as the distribution came out, because there was such a high demand, and he does a relatively low number of printings in his first editions.
Why does he print so few?
I think that it's just, honestly, I think he's very modest. Talking to him over the last week, he struck me as someone who is really shocked by the monster success of his own work, which, I mean, I can understand the modesty, but my goodness, people love these books, and they are wonderfully written books. And I really want our listeners to know more about him and these books, because I think that they're a great opportunity not only to have something that's, you know, kind of fun and entertainment value, but also educational and really poignant in a lot of ways. The books themselves, you know, cover a variety of different things that may or may not happen after a collapse. And that's really the essence of a lot of post-apocalyptic fiction these days, is to talk about, you know, after a collapse, after things change, then what happens? How do the people interact?
And we see this kind of covers all the what ifs, right?
Exactly. We see this a lot on like The Walking Dead, and that has become a really big metaphor, especially here in Atlanta, because you know, it's a hometown team and everybody loves that they're shot here in Atlanta. But that's one of the things that people are kind of gravitating to, is to talk about, well, it's not just the zombies, but it's the personal interactions. And that's what makes The Walking Dead interesting, is how do these people survive in a post-apocalyptic world? And how do they interact with each other? And how does human psychology play in? It's not just, you know, how many zombies can you hit in the head with a crowbar? It's
all of them?
Yeah, all of them. There you go. The question is how do people react to this kind of drastic situation? Now, Glenn's books are a little different because they don't involve zombies and they don't have any supernatural or out of this world characteristics.
They're about societal collapse.
Right. And it's about more of a what I would call a realistic outlook on societal collapse. And, you know, having a zombie preparedness plan is fun and kind of, you know, it's middle of September. We're creeping up on Halloween. We're going to have to do another zombie episode.
Why not, right?
Right.
But can I do the makeup?
You can do the makeup. You can absolutely do the makeup. It'll be a lot better than last year's, I promise you.
It always will be better than last year.
Now, you were telling me before we got started today that you have a zombie plan.
I do. I think that you need to get all the people you can that you can rely on and steal an aircraft carrier, because it's like a little city.
And it's a pretty big city, actually. Some of those aircraft carriers are full-fledged cities with, you know, nuclear turbines and able to put out enough electricity to run a city. Did you know that in the event of an emergency, a nuclear submarine can be tethered to the dock and run the naval station off of its own reactor?
Yikes.
Yeah. They were designed with that in mind, to be able to backflow electricity to a naval base in order to keep the base up and running during a disaster.
Well, then we would need to steal a
nuclear submarine. You know, the advantage of using a nuclear sub over using a nuclear aircraft carrier is, A, it's completely self-contained, including oxygen, so you don't have to worry about any airborne contamination, and B, it requires fewer number of people to make it work. A Nimitz-class aircraft carrier has, I think, around 5,000 people to make it operational.
Yeah, but what's a submarine have, like 18?
Well, depending on the size of the sub, you might have 40 or 50. So it's a much more sustainable number than 5,000. Trying to get 5,000 people together who know what they're doing is kind of a trick.
I was saying, just take it out to the in the middle of the ocean and just sit there.
Now, the next question I have for you is, do you think zombies float?
No, I think they'll decay.
Well, yeah, but...
I think they would be shark food.
Dead body... Sharks won't eat something that's dead, will they? Yeah, they like live meat. And then on top of that, dead bodies float, right?
But you've got all this ammunition, Doug. I mean,
well, yeah, but if you're out there in the middle of the ocean and all these dead bodies, you know, everyone who falls into the ocean starts floating over to your aircraft carrier, I think that would be kind of A...
fun. You could shoot
them. Demoralizing. and be dangerous.
Why am I getting images in my head of the movie Open Water?
yeah, for sure. Now, I see, I have a little different take. When I start to think about where I would like to take over when the zombie apocalypse, I want to stay as far away from the water as I can because...
You're scared of the water, right?
I'm scared of the water, yeah. I don't like to swim. So instead, if I had my choice, and I've put a great deal of thought into this in a scary way, I would like to take over what was formerly known as Discover Mills over in Gwinnett.
Why would you do that?
Okay, let's think about it a minute. All right, you've got a food court that's full of freezers with frozen food, so you've got food there.
Okay.
You've got Bass Pro Shop, which is full of guns and ammunition and crossbows and arrows and camping gear, so you're set there. And on the other end, you've got medieval times.
So,
you've got a castle.
Spears.
Yeah, you have a castle. You can actually go up on the... It has parapets. You can climb up to the top and be sniping the zombies off the parapets of the castle.
It's castle-esque. It's probably made of foam.
Well, they still have crowns, and you could declare yourself king.
You would just want to be the king of Gwinnett.
the kingdom of Doug over there after the zombie apocalypse comes, and you just kind of set up camp and go and hang out in the Bass Pro. Have you ever seen the new remake of Dawn of the Dead?
No.
Oh, yeah. They took over the mall, and they were, like, camping in the mall.
Maybe I have seen this.
It was pretty good. Yeah. I enjoyed that movie.
And then they had a zombie baby in one of the stores.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to have to join the King of Doug, the Kingdom of Doug, and that's today's dose of megalomania, folks.
Have you ever played the video game Fallout 3?
No.
Okay, there was a point in that game, because it's like a whole world you can walk around in, and there's different little submissions and everything. And way up in the corner of the map, where there wasn't anything else going on, you ran across this little farm, and it was called the Kingdom of Dave. And Dave had set up his own little kingdom up there and had declared himself king, and you had a mission where you had to go do something for him, like his cows got lost or something. You had to go round them up and bring them back. But there he was in the middle of the apocalypse, the Kingdom of Dave.
There's the Kingdom of Doug, you guys.
Right over there on top of medieval times, enjoying the end of the world. But, you know, all this kind of is kind of the crazy outside of the realm things that you get onto when you talk about zombies and the, you know, off the wall stuff. And it's fun.
It's fun, but it's not as likely to happen as societal collapse.
Which is what Glenn writes about in his books. And I think that that's an interesting thing because it's more of realistic may be a bit of a stretch because we all hope that nothing like this would ever happen. But when you start to talk about what are the possibilities, you know, you've got zombies down here with, you know, like maybe 1/1,000,000,000%. And then you've got societal collapse, which maybe like, say, 1 in 10.
Right.
And so when you're starting to prepare or think about preparing for things that are more likely is usually a better plan.
You know, the thing that used to be way down low on my list was nuclear disaster or nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
But as this heat in the Middle East starts to make things boil, and we've got ISIS or ISIL or whatever you want to call them. Depends.
If you're a Republican, you call it ISIS. If you're a Democrat, you call it ISIL.
Is that how?
That's really how it's breaking down.
For shizzle.
Wow. Yeah. Izzle for shizzle. My nizzle. Anyway, folks, so we're talking about, you know, things that are likely to happen. And you're right. The Middle East conflict, as it's getting to be more and more exciting, you know, the proliferation of nuclear weapons and nuclear fissile material, the number of nuclear weapons that have gone missing in Eastern Europe over the past decade as, you know, countries there and particularly individuals who had charge over nuclear stockpiles had depleting resources and the inability to even get paid. They were selling things off to the highest bidder. This is something that's not really spoken of. have in international politics, but there are a lot of nuclear missiles and nuclear material that has gone missing. And now we've got people who are the highest bidder in the Middle East and other places who have a, you know, socio-political religious agenda and may be able to get not only the materials, but the know-how needed to be able to activate those materials.
Yikes.
And here we are, we've been talking about, you know, people coming across the U.S.'s southern border
into Texas. There's a lot of that.
And this is a huge problem.
And, you know, here we are in the week of 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Just this last Thursday, yeah.
So we have a lot of people who are wondering what's going on.
You know, what's going to happen and what the next plan is, and is there someone else coming out to attack us? I know that a lot of people, September is Emergency Preparedness Month, and a lot of people get pulled into emergency preparedness around this time. And the reason that it's Emergency Preparedness Month is because of 9/11. And even the government recognizes that this is a time of heightened, you know, danger for our country. We have more TSA involvement. There's a lot more government activity during the month of September preparing for, you know, further terrorist attacks. And that's something that's on a lot of people's minds. But, you know, as we're looking at what could happen, societal collapse, nuclear attack, all sorts of things that could be in the future for our country and ourselves. And up in our next segment, in just a few seconds, we're going to have Glenn Tate join us. He's going to talk about his book, why he decided to write about post-apocalyptic fiction, how this has changed his life, and where he hopes to take it, and why we all need to be more informed, even in our entertainment. So folks, stay tuned. We'll have our special guest here in just a minute. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, The Talk of the Town with Doug and Aaron.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, everybody. As we said before we took our commercial break, our special guest today is Mr. Glenn Tate, the author of the 299 Days series of books, and who is a fantastic author. I've read the introduction book to this series. I thought it was a fantastic book, well written, very informative. And as we were saying, as we were coming in, you know, the focal point of these books is something that could actually happen, which is really important and poignant for all of us when we're thinking about what kind of books we can read. You know, we could read something like zombie fiction, but why not read something that's going to be really informative as well as being entertaining? So, Mr. Tate, thank you for joining us, and we're really excited to have you here.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. It's great to talk to folks in the Atlanta area.
Well, we're really excited about this. Now, right off the bat, we have a couple of questions for you about your book series. And I know Aaron has been working on this for days.
I'm really interested in here. Why did you choose post-apocalyptic fiction to write these books on?
You know, you make it sound like there was a choice, and there really wasn't. This started off, this is the Easter Bunny, and why the Easter Bunny is responsible for the books. And you're saying, oh my goodness, we've just booked a delusional guest. No, there's actually a rational explanation for this. I have a spouse, my wife, who doesn't believe that this will happen. Now, she's since come around, but when I wrote the books, she was the reluctant spouse. And I needed to come up with an explanation for her, to give to her, about why, when an event happened, there would be a bunch of food and water and maybe some ammunition that would suddenly show up in the garage that she didn't know about. Yeah. And I thought I could be annoying and say, I told you so, which doesn't go very well with my wife. I don't know about other people out there, but it doesn't work very well with my wife. Or I could come up with a face-saving way to explain how all these things materialize. And I came up with the Easter Bunny. And I would have said in the speech, I called it the Easter Bunny speech, honey, the Easter Bunny brought these things by. Now, here's what I think we need to do. Here's how we're going to take care of the kids. It would just be a way to, with a little bit of humor, just completely take the I told you so topic off the table. So I thought, well, this is a pretty important speech I'm going to be giving. I mean, this is kind of a fork in the road of this marriage, really, when you think about it. So this needs to be done well. So I started writing little bullet points out about what I call the Easter Bunny speech, and the bullet points soon turned into a page, and then it turned into a few pages. And it was an explanation of why people would prep and how they would use the preps and why the world wasn't going to end and we'll be okay and all of these things. And I realized this is a magnificent outline for describing to people why they should prep and, in some cases, how they should prep. Well, the bullet points and the one and two pages turned into a little short story. By the way, never really written fiction before. And so it turned into this little short story, this one chapter thing I would put up on a forum, and thought that'd be kind of fun. And then I thought, well, I need to explain why I'm like I am and why my wife's like she is. And so there were a few more chapters, and then pretty soon turned into a book. I ended up writing 10 books, 3,600 pages. I didn't have a publisher. Wow. I just sat down and wrote all this stuff. It took about 2.5 years. I'd get up very, very early and write these things, and all these people I'd met in my life started flowing out on the keyboard and into the computer and started becoming part of this story, and I realized all these people I'd met and all these experiences I had linked together and provided an amazing framework for a story about a collapse and eventually a rebuilding.
You know, that's really interesting, yes. Glenn, because we have talked on this radio show so many times about how to involve your family. What do you do with your friends and family who aren't interested in prepping and who don't see this as being a realistic threat? And it's one of the most common questions we get from our listeners is, you know, how do I talk to my friends and family? And here you took that obstacle and you turned it into an amazing book series over a period of 2 years. And I think that is It's a unique way of dealing with the issue. I don't think that very many people would look at, you know, this common problem that we all have in talking to our family and friends and say, wow, here's an inspiration to go and write an amazing book series.
So I'm all for this, you know, Easter Bunny speech.
Yeah,
I think that's an incredible idea. You know, where did all this stuff come from? The Easter Bunny brought it. Don't worry about it. Now cook dinner.
Well, you know, and I can't really say that the inspiration, I guess the inspiration was a way to describe this to my wife, but it just started growing and growing and growing, and it became a story about my job that I have, which I get to observe government, state government in Washington State. I live and work in the capital, Olympia, Washington. And so I get to describe things that I've seen and that my friends have seen and why I think the collapse is likely economic and more of a partial collapse. I think the utilities stay on and those sorts of things. This isn't a Mad Max zombie apocalypse sort of scenario, because in my life, the more dramatic something is, the less likely it is to occur. And so I assume that a Mad Max horrible, terrible situation is less likely than, the way that the Russians lived in the 90s when they had their collapse, the Argentinians in 2000, perhaps Bosnia. The way our grandparents and great-grandparents lived during the Depression to an extent, mm-hmm. these sorts of things are far more likely. So I started writing about that, and so it starts off as persuading my wife, and then it goes into an analysis. It's kind of my business. I'm a lawyer by trade. I can describe complex public policy things with dialogue between characters, just two people talking about what they think and what they've seen and what they've experienced. You read it and then you say, oh my goodness, I just learned a whole lot about how currency works. I just learned a whole lot about how taxes work and all these other things. And it doesn't even seem like a boring policy wonk description, because quite honestly, I don't even like that stuff. Well, why would you sit down with your leisure time and read a bunch of boring public policy stuff when you can get into a world and see how people talk to each other and what their experiences are? That's how I learn things. It's through people. It's not through charts and graphs.
Of course. And all of the great, the best philosophers of our generation, you know, the last 50 years have used fiction in a way to persuade people. I think about Ayn Rand and her books of The Fountainhead and how this was a way of getting a new philosophy and a new set of ethos out to the general public and using the medium of fiction to do that. And the way that you craft words, it is truly masterful. I really cannot encourage our readers enough to go out to, you know, maybe True Prepper, one of the other bookstores in the area, and pick up these books not only for their entertainment value, but because they have such meat to them where you're going to learn some really important things about the world around you.
I mean, an eye-opening experience just reading the books. It makes you realize what's really going on with our world, our government.
I hope so, and that's what I hope to do. I've been placed, and I don't get religious on people, but I believe divinely inspired and placed in a position where I've observed things. And by the way, they're not super secret criminal things. They're just sort of all the yucky parts of government that all your listeners already know about, so I don't need to cover that ground. But I've been in conference rooms when amazing things have been said, And I can bring that reality to readers who didn't have the opportunity to be in that conference room. And you can tell from the dialogue and the real people that this thing really happened.
Yeah.
And you can see, you know, the background. So I have this, as I call it, front row seat to corruption. And I get to record things and then present it in fiction. And I change names and I change other things. I'm not out to get anybody or anything like that. I don't want to embarrass anybody. That's not my purpose with all this. I mean, it was an Easter Bunny, you know, post-it note. It started off as, and now it's become a message to get out to people about why they need to prep. And it's low key. I step people into it with real people. It's not, my goodness, there's going to be zombies running around, because, you know, I hear that kind of stuff and it turns me off. You know how it is. The general media has made preppers, you know, into some crazy lunatic fringe. And so I'm a political person. I persuade people for a living. I realized that I had been dealt a hand of craziness, basically. The general population thinks people like us are a little bit crazy. Okay, I have to accept that as the landscape that I'm operating in. And given that people are going to think that people like us are crazy, how do I present the message with not only without sounding crazy, but actually, I think, being rational and realistic? So that's what I did, and it's been an amazing surprise to me. I sent this to one publisher, and I didn't think it'd be published. I thought I'd self-publish it. There was a $1,500 pickup, used pickup I wanted to buy, and I thought, well, if I self-publish these things and make $1,500, I can get that 1996 Ford F-150 red pickup that I really want. And these books have taken off. We'll talk about the audiobooks perhaps in a moment, which are really going to be big and get the message out. And I am as surprised as anybody by this, and that's what makes it neat, because I'm truly humble, because I didn't sit down to write a book. I sat down to write a post-it note, really. It turned into 10 books. It's turned into 10 audiobooks. I get inquiries about making movies fairly frequently, and all of this just sprung from this post-it note. So you can imagine my enthusiasm and joy for this, just because I didn't expect any of it, but I can legitimately see how it's affecting people's lives. I get emails from people, and the way they can use this with a reluctant spouse to get their spouse on board, that is so heartwarming and gratifying. I've really helped somebody at a major, major problem in their life, and I'll probably never meet him. And it's just really, really cool, and it's been a great experience.
Glenn, it's really amazing. I mean, it has become a phenomenon. And I know this, you know, not only from my interactions with other people, but from, you know, talking to, like, our title sponsors over at True Prep, because they told me that there were people who were waiting in line to get your eighth book when it came out, and that they couldn't keep enough on the shelves, that they were flying off the shelves, and they sold out in the first couple of days once they had received them. We're coming up on a commercial break, folks. Stay tuned. We're going to talk to Glenn when we get back about how this phenomenon has changed his life. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron. This week, we've had a special guest in the person of Glenn Tate, who is the author of the 299 Days series of books about a general collapse of the society and how you can be better prepared. These fiction books are entertaining and informative and fantastic books. And as we left off, Mr. Tate was telling us about how he, you know, had no intention of writing a massive series of books or it becoming this huge phenomenon, leading to not only the published work, but soon to be audiobooks and possibly movie deals in the future. But this was an unexpected surprise.
Well, you know, you've written all these books now, Mr. Tate. How has it changed your life?
Oh, my goodness. It all starts with the surprise and the unexpected nature. When I wrote these books, I didn't expect anyone to read them, or I thought, as I mentioned earlier, I'd self-publish them, and literally dozens of people, perhaps a few hundred people, would read them. So I put all kinds of things in the books that were true, true about me and true about my friends and true about a bunch of other things. And if I could do it over again, I would probably change some of the things, because there's some things in the books, especially about my childhood, that seems to be something of great interest to people, and I can understand why, that quite honestly, you know, I wouldn't have written to tens of thousands of people, but
you know, that's...
I'm,
That's really interesting, because those are the parts that I think ring the truest with the readers. And those are the parts which I think set your books apart from what would be a typical fiction book. It has an honesty and a heartfeltness to it that you don't see a lot in modern fiction. Most people who are writing are writing kind of in a bubble or in this imaginary world, and they don't bring in the human nature like you have. And I think that that's one of the strongest points in your books.
No, and I think so. And in hindsight, I would have kept it the way it was. It's one of these things where, you know, boy, if I could change it, maybe I would have. But now I realize that the realism of the books is what, first of all, it captivates people and entertains them. The other, I think, more important reason to have everything so realistic in the books, and you can tell genuine. People out there can smell a fake a mile away, and you can tell this is real. The neat thing is that, take the reluctant spouse who's perhaps reading these books, oh, I'm not so sure about this, the skepticism that they're coming into this with. When they read about real people that are obviously real, they're going to say, well, this seems very real. And so then when I project in the future about what a collapse looks like, the reader has already assumed that I'm a realistic person and I'm not exaggerating. And so it builds up the credibility of the narrative because so many things are real. I mean, an example of this is I put a line in here about, because it was true, that when I was in high school and I was taking the SAT tests, I got drunk before I took the SAT test. I partied the night before. Now, who would possibly write that about themselves? That's not terribly flattering, is it? I mean, that's yeah. Not good stuff. But it's in the book, and it's very realistic. It kind of makes a point in context and all that. But there are a lot of those sorts of things that you just don't find. I'll tell you something. People, this absolutely amazes people. There's a team in the book, my group of guys, my prepper group, and they're all real. And people meet the real team, and their jaws drop. They cannot believe that these guys are real. I mean, a 6-foot Korean gunfighter who sells insurance, that pretty much amazes people right there.
Yeah.
And all these guys are real, and the Kickstarter video shows that. People want to look that up. I mean, you see them, they're interviewed. And that is one of those neat things that I'm creative, but I'm not that creative. I couldn't have made up all these amazing people that have been dropped into my life and that I can then describe, and then they have amazing roles as the story unfolds. So that's why I believe this is divinely inspired, because I don't think I'm creative enough to have come up with this.
Well,
I just don't. I'd love to take the credit, but if any credit's out there, it goes to this made-up guy named Glenn Tate. The real me, and obviously Glenn Tate's a pen name, the real me doesn't get the glory, and I'm just fine with that. I am A-okay with that, because quite honestly, my job probably is in jeopardy if it gets out that I wrote these books. So there's another reason for me to keep this on the down low.
Well, your secret's safe with us.
Yeah, We won't unmask you, Bruce Wayne, we promise. looking at some of the, you know, other people that we've talked to in the past, we've had some guests on this show like Survivor Jane, who has a huge Twitter following, and a lady named Sylvia Bernstein, who owns the largest aquaponics dealership in North America. Both of them got into prepping based on a personal experience that got them excited about the idea, sometimes in a rather scary way. And I think it's so refreshing to see that you came to this out of a love for it, that you were trying to, you know, evangelize your wife to get her on board with what was going on so that you could take care of your family. But there's a real passion behind what you're doing and trying to get people more excited and more in tune with a centrist, a mainstream, a middle-of-the-road version of prepping that isn't about, you know, nuclear fallout shelters and isn't about, you know, gas masks for all the kids and running and doing, you know, crazy drills. It's about being prepared for something that's realistic, that's you know, possibly coming down the pike. And one of the things that I really wanted to quiz you on and get inside your head is when you're looking at, and you kind of touched on this in our first segment, but when you're looking at possibilities and probabilities, obviously the scenario that you play out in the current series of books is a highly probable, I would argue, series of events. Do you have other ideas, or are there possibility of other books in the future with different scenarios? What's the future hold for our fictitious Mr. Tate?
I'm going to disappoint some people, perhaps. I don't think I have another big message left in me. I think that the big message of 299 days that you need to get prepared and that this is real and that there's a realistic threat and there are simple things that can be done, all the rational prepping things that you talked about, I think that is the message. And I don't want to write books for the sake of writing books. It has to be my heart and, again, the divinely inspired part. It has to be meaningful content pouring out through me, through my little fingers on a keyboard and into a computer. That has to be, that's the only way this works. And so I don't anticipate any other fiction books. Maybe we could do some nonfiction things. We've been toying with that, sort of a how-to on how to do many of the things that work for us. And by us, I mean me and the team. But I don't know that I have any more big message left. And I know that's sort of disappointing, but I need to be honest, because being realistic has been such a powerful way of communicating. I need to stay realistic.
Well, may I make a suggestion that maybe it's when you finish, you know, publishing book 9 and book 10 and they're all out and available, that you have a 299 days compendium that is literally a how-to and step-by-step guide on the basics of prepping.
Yeah, no, and that's pretty much what is being kicked around with the publisher, and I would love to do that. Another way to get information out, you know, rational, decent, centrist is a word you just used, which I think is fantastic, information. Yeah, that would be a neat thing to do.
So tell me a little bit about the possibility of a movie, because, you know, I love a good movie, and summer blockbuster season could use a 299 days movie.
Well, this spring we had a Kickstarter project, and that's a way of crowdsource raising money. It did not fund, which, you know, it's disappointing, but not the end of my world, because I'm just this lawyer, just this regular guy that just does his regular thing, and producing movies and writing movies and scripts it never really crossed my mind. So I will live a complete life without ever making a movie. I'd like to make a movie to get the message out to even more people. And I have inquiries. I don't know how many of them are serious, to be quite honest. I've found that Hollywood is full of deceptive snake oil sort of people that tell you that they'll make you famous and all this other stuff. And I don't want to be famous. I'm looking for the way to get the message out, which means that I retain control over the content. I'm not going to sell the rights to this and have some corny Hollywood thing that is embarrassing, because I don't need to make a movie. I just don't need to make a movie. I just want to. But if it's meant to be, the right situation will come around, and I'll shrug and I'll look up in the sky and say, thanks a lot. This is great. Glad I could help you. Capital Y on the U, by the way.
So tell me a little bit about these audiobooks that you were mentioning during our last break.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. The books I'm very happy with. The audiobooks are even cooler. They come out October 26th. They're on Audible. Which many people know is sort of the Netflix, sort of the Amazon, really, of audiobooks. And Audible is very excited about this series. They featured it in their fall preview email that went out to over 1 million people, which was very much appreciated. They've started pre-sales 2.5 months before the launch, which is extremely rare. Wow. I'm learning all these things about the publishing world I never knew before. And so all 10 books will come out on audio. We have an absolutely fantastic narrator named Kevin Pierce, New York Times bestselling narrator. He basically stalked me, which I'm very happy he did, to become the narrator on this. He really, really wanted to do this series. And his voice is amazing. And this is hard to explain until you experience it, but I'll say this. I wrote the story, and book one in particular is my life. It's very autobiographical. So I thought I knew this story, right? I mean, it's my life. I wrote it. I should know it. When Kevin Pierce reads, especially book one, there are aspects of my own life that I didn't really realize until he does the inflections and he does the narrating he does. And I know that sounds amazing, but the books, it's an entirely new level when you listen to them on audio. And so I think even people who have read the books will get quite a bit out of the audiobooks. The other neat thing about audiobooks, we've been talking a lot about getting the message out. There are all kinds of people out there that don't like to read, don't have the time to read. I mean, I read for about 7 minutes at night, and I fall asleep. So it takes me, you know, 2 years to read a book, basically. So I can relate to all of this, but there are a lot of people out there that audiobooks are pretty much the best and in some cases the only way for them to get a message. Well, now there's going to be audiobooks, and all those people out there who would never sit down and read 10 books, they might listen to the first audiobook, and I'm hoping, and I think Kevin Pierce will do this, they listen to that first audiobook, and they're going to listen to the other 9 because they're going to be hooked. And so the message will get out to, I don't know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions.
Hopefully.
I don't know. I've been surprised so far.
Hopefully millions. We are really enamored with your writing style and your books. We're coming up on the end of our segment here. I wanted to ask you, aside from like our title sponsor, True Prep, where can we find your books? I know we can go to audible.com coming up in October and download the audiobooks. Where can we find print editions? And if people have questions for you, how do they find you?
Yeah, print editions, the best, easiest way to do that is Amazon. By the way, you can, if you've got the Kindle versions, you can upgrade them through something called WhisperSync for about $2 a book, and then you get the audiobooks. The website is 299days.com. Those are numbers, 299days.com. My email address, I love to hear from people, glenntate123@gmail.com. And love to hear from people. That's the best way to get a hold of me. Facebook is a terrific way to keep up with things. We have this big reader community. They send in pictures and they send in all kinds of neat stuff. People are getting 299 days tattoos and license plates and all kinds of crazy good stuff.
I saw one of the license plates on Facebook. I think that's absolutely phenomenal. And it's just proof that your writing has become a national phenomenon. Glenn, we really appreciate you being here today. I want to thank you, and hopefully we can have you back on the show maybe after the audiobooks take off, or maybe when you get that movie deal signed. Everyone, you're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. We'll be back for a final segment in just a moment.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, everybody. I really want to thank Mr. Tate for coming on the show. I mean, it was a fantastic couple of segments. It's a shame he had to run so quickly and only had time to do 2 segments before he had to go on to another a speaking engagement. But what a wonderful opportunity for us to hear from somebody who is not only a fantastic author, an author in the genre, which is kind of the heart and soul of Ready Radio, but really, I think, the exemplification of what I think prepping should be. I mean, here's a person who did it out of a conviction and belief. He did it not to make money, not to self-aggrandize, not to make a name for himself, but just out of a pure belief that something bad will happen from his day-to-day existence. And you know, what he says really resonates with me because I've been there too. I've been in those places where you hear these people talking and you think, my goodness, how much longer can this go on like this? When the world is run like this, how much longer can we make it? And then you get this anxiety that you want to take care of your family and you want to prepare for what's coming. And you might have a spouse who's reluctant, or you might have, you know, a friend or a family member who's close to you who just blows you off and says, you know, that could never happen. This is no big deal. And how do you reach out to him? Well, the 299 Days book series is a great way to reach out to somebody. I mean, you make this a birthday present or a Christmas present or a gift. You know, and then you start to bug them about it. You mm-hmm. say, "So what'd you think? Did you read it?"
I need to get this book for my dad.
There you go.
I should get this first book for my dad. I think he would enjoy it.
I'm, you know, I bet since we now have connections, we could even get Mr. Tate to sign it for your dad.
Maybe. That would be an interesting gift, wouldn't it?
That would be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, folks, as we talk about how are we going to get more people involved, here's a great way to get more people involved. And then the broader idea, you know, here's someone who's trying to get the message out. That was one of his key themes when he was talking to us, is getting the message out. That's what we do here every week. We try to get the message out to people, to get them involved and excited and moving. And here we are with somebody who has done just that and has reached millions of people through his books, with the upcoming audiobooks. We'll put a link to 299 Days, the website, on our website, so you can go and click on it and go straight to see all of his upcoming projects. But I think that this is really the exemplification of what I think the model prepper is. Not somebody who is, you know, on the far out, not somebody who's acting crazy, not someone who's, you know, a doomsday prepper off of the TV show who's manages to shoot his thumb off in front of his kids and go into shock, and it's the camera crew that saves the guy's life.
That really happened.
Yeah.
Holy cow, are you serious?
Yeah, I think it was season two. This guy was out. He had taken his children out to the shooting range. They had bugged out to the shooting range, and he's there with like an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old or something like that. And he's messing around with a Ruger 10/22, and he puts his thumb over the barrel as the thing's jammed, and he managed to shoot his thumb off. And when he shot his thumb off, he curls up in a ball in the middle of the desert and grabs it and goes into shock and isn't unable to do anything. And it's the Nat Geo camera guy that puts the camera down and goes and administers first aid and treats him until they can get him to a hospital.
And that's preparedness, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of image that we're presented as.
And yeah, well, I mean, if you look at any group of people, the television presentation of them is not indicative of what kind of people are the rest of the group.
Well, I don't know if I'd say any, because then you get into talking about the Kardashians.
The Kardashians are just the Kardashians, but let's summarize people from like North Georgia, and here comes Honey Boo Boo. I mean, are we going to judge everyone in North Georgia by Honey Boo Boo? I hope not, because that's where I live.
Or everyone in Minnesota by Fargo, or...
Yikes!
Everyone in...
Don't you know.
You betcha. Oofta.
Oh.
Got to throw in an oofta or two, especially on a topic like this, don't you know?
You're really good at that.
I lived up there for half my life, so
yeah.
I am well familiar with the Minnesota accent and the Minnesota state dish, the potluck. Casserole.
The
casserole. Uh-huh, and the Minnesota state bird, mosquito.
See, here I thought it was that weird fish.
Lutefisk. Uh-huh. Yeah, now there is a prepper dish, folks. When you're reading your 299 days book series, why don't you go get some lutefisk and enjoy it? Because lutefisk...
You'd like some gelatinous, partially digested fish.
That's exactly what it is. And we love it in Minnesota. What you do is you take fish and you desiccate it using lye.
Ugh.
And then once it's completely dried out, you store it, and then when it's time to eat it, you rehydrate it by going through successive baths to wash all the lye off, because lye isn't really so good to be eating.
That's how hominy is made.
Oh, okay.
They take corn and soak it in lye until it puffs up, and then they rinse it, and can it.
Yep.
It's disgusting.
This is like hominy fish.
Hominy fish.
There you go.
That's what everybody's going to need early on a Saturday morning. So everybody run out and get your hominy fish for breakfast. Grab you a copy of 299 Days at True Prep.
Yeah, because they carry all of the books. And I know that book 8 was just released. I didn't realize before we had this interview that he had written all of them at once, which explains how it has such a wonderful continuity all the way through all the books. But book 8 just recently came out. I know that people were standing in line for it. It was a huge success. Book 9, he already has the cover up on his Facebook page as a little bit of a spoiler. You can see book 9 coming down the pike. And then book 10 will be the final book. And from what, you know, Glenn said today, it sounds like this is the end for his series. And these are phenomenal books. I guess he's taken a page from J.K. Rowling and decided that, you know, end on a high note and call it a good effort. But
J.K. Rowling ended on a high note?
Well, she ended. She ended on a very rich note.
Oh, yes, she did.
You know, richer than the Queen of England.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But... not as rich as the guy that owned Chick-fil-A.
No, she has way more money than Truett Cathy. And God rest Truett Cathy's soul. What a loss for the Atlanta business community this last week. I mean, he was a kind and generous man and had a business model which is staggering to some of us. And you look at the tremendous success that Chick-fil-A did in surpassing even KFC as the number one chicken seller in the world. I mean, it really is a phenomenal story of rags to riches and true faith and something that we can all as a community be proud of. And celebrate his life and his death, because I know that, you know, he was a man of faith and that he is enjoying his time of peace and rest now, and that is something that is truly a blessing, which a lot of us, you know, there are people out there who are really afraid of death and afraid of what's to come, but a man like Truett Cathy knew where he was going and knew why, and that is a testimony and blessing for every person who hears his story.
I agree.
So, folks, you know, we're coming up on the end of our show. I want to encourage all of you to not only go and check out Glenn's webpage, and we will have it up on our webpage, but go to our webpage. Go to www.readyradio.net. Check us out on iTunes. We're on Facebook and Twitter, and we're coming up on a huge number of likes on our Facebook page. Please go send us a like, send us a question, comment, or even a snide remark at info@readyradio.net. If you have a question that's meant just for Aaron or myself, you can reach out to either of us with our personal email addresses at doug@readyradio.net or Erin, E-R-I-N, @readyradio.net. It's a great way to get in contact with us. We love fan mail. We spend a good portion of every Monday replying to people, trying to keep ahead of things. And one of the new segments that we're working on when we have, you know, not a special guest like Mr. Tate on, we'll be bringing in listeners who have questions to be able to ask a question on the air and have it answered in real time. So all of this is coming up. I know that you folks have been a fantastic audience. Please go check out True Prep. Visit us online. You've been listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Erin. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by True Prep. For all your prepping needs, visit True Prep online at truprep.com or visit a True Prep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Erin get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday mornings at 8, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.